Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Interesting show. I know they're all interesting. At least we think so. Retirement communities, long-term care. It's a reality that a lot of people are going to face, and a lot of people either for themselves or for their families. As we watch our parents age, that they might need some form of care. It might be home health care, it might be assisted living, or it might need to be an actual nursing home. But the proliferation of retirement communities across the country, and especially in areas where there's a greater number of retirees, is more than enough evidence to tell you that this is something that we need to plan for and be prepared for. So we're going to dig in a little deeper on retirement communities. And what are they? How do they work? How do you pay for it? Are they all the same? Do you need to make a reservation? How does it all work? So we're very fortunate to have Brad Breeding on the line. He is a certified financial planner. He is president and co-founder of My Life Site, and the website is mylifesite.net. And he's also written the book, which I'm holding in my hand, which is very nice of him to send it ahead of time. And we may need to get a few extra copies for our clients. The book is What's the Deal with Retirement Communities. So Brad Breeding on the line. Brad, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate the invitation.
Well, pleasure. And I understand you worked as a financial advisor for 13 years before starting My Life Site, and you still, of course, are a certified financial planner. Once you earn that one, you want to hold on to it, right?
Absolutely. That's not one I want to do again.
Yeah, don't give that one up. That one, that's not one you can get in the drive-through window.
Right.
So I know you've done a lot of work in the retirement living industry. Financial planning background, of course, helps you look at this a little differently. And you've been featured in Kiplinger's Magazine, Wall Street Journal, MarketWatch, USA Today. So thank you for taking some time out of your schedule to talk with us about retirement communities, because I think for a lot of people, they are still somewhat an unknown, a little bit of a mystery from the outside looking in, or kind of peering at them from afar. So what would you say, from your perspective, what are some of the big things that people who've never really had any direct experience with retirement communities would be surprised to know? Pull the curtain back, peel the onion a little bit for us, and just talk to us about retirement communities in general.
Sure. Well, I think, you know, for a lot of people, the phrases, you know, phrase like retirement community or senior living, it's such a generic type of thing, and it's used to cover kind of a wide variety of options. And so I think for a lot of people, they don't have that real understanding of what distinguishes one type of community from another. So I think it's important to understand that, you know, the word retirement community doesn't necessarily translate into a nursing home.
For
many people, you know, that's kind of where their mind goes. And so I think it's important for people, no matter what they ultimately decide, whether that ends up, you know, staying in their own home or moving to a community, I think it's important to do the education, you know, understand what those options are out there and how, you know, say an independent living community, which often fosters a very, you know, vibrant and active resident base, you know, how that's different from a care facility. And once people understand what the options are and how they're different from one another, you know, then they'll be in position to make the best, you know, choice for their retirement living future.
Okay. Well, good. That's helpful. So when we talk about retirement communities, you're talking primarily then when you refer to that in your terminology, you're referring to a continuing care retirement community?
Well, that's certainly one type. That's the type of community that we focus on here at our company.
Okay.
Because there's a kind of a higher level of complexity that goes into the different types of contracts that are available among continuing care retirement communities. But certainly when we say retirement community, that covers not only continuing care communities, but also, you know, maybe just a pure independent living community or an active adult community and things of that nature.
Okay, so retirement community is really the broadest term, and then you have within that a subset of that, and in particular, that's where you focus a lot, is on these continuing care retirement communities then.
That's right.
Okay, good. And I think for a lot of people, quite frankly, Brad, that's probably the one that is the most foreign or the most that is a little bit more daunting. I think people understand home health care. And I, you know, that has become, of course, talked about, and you know, it's hard to miss a commercial on that on television. I have the jingles all in my head and I can't get them out. And then you have, of course, assisted living. I think people are a little bit more familiar with that one. Because, and it's probably the best, most, you know, easily described. And then you get into where it's a little more of this, the community idea. So, the concept I think for people to understand is the continuing care that you kind of go from one level of care to the next, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Good. And so in looking at that, I guess the first question then is, when should somebody think about a continuing care retirement community versus just kind of doing the a la carte where I'll do the home health care, I'll then find an assisted living, and then I'll go find a nursing home when I need it, or a memory care unit, or whatever the case may be. And I guess it's kind of like it's the value meal versus picking these things out a la carte from the dollar menu.
That's right. It's a good analogy. That's a really good question. I get asked that a lot. When's the best time to start looking at a community, a continuing care retirement community? And, you know, I think one of the things that's really important to consider, and I mentioned this in my book, is that for most people, just kind of on average, we sort of tend to refer to the mid-retirement years as those beginning around age 70 or the early 70s. And lasting really as long as somebody is able to still live independently, which of course could, that period of time could be different for everybody.
Sure. You know,
for some that could be just a few years, for others that could be 20 or 30 years.
Right.
So just depending on their health and so forth. So, you know, in those early 70s is when people need to really start thinking about this, talking with their family members. You know, we have a real problem in our society where families just don't talk enough about this topic, and they wait until some major health event occurs, and then the whole family kind of goes into crisis mode to figure out what's the best option
right.
what's available at that time.
Right.
And it really can lead to a pretty difficult situation. And so it's important that people start thinking about this before they actually need care. And that's really where continuing care retirement communities for many families can be a solution, because what really is happening is somebody that looks at a CCRC is the analogy, or actually the industry starting to refer to them as life plan communities. But nonetheless, these multi-tier communities, what they really do is provide peace of mind, because residents can move in and know that they can live independently and actively. But if and when they require care down the road, it's available, usually on site, whether it's assisted living or skilled nursing care. And so that really provides peace of mind. It's kind of a gift to the adult children in many ways. That's probably what I hear more than anything, is we're doing this for our kids because we don't want them to have to go through what we went through.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, it's just that kind of that all encompassing, whether that's the right choice versus kind of the a la carte approach that you mentioned.
Yeah.
I think people just have to really look at their situation and ask what they prefer, how much risk they sort of want to hedge against,
right,
and a variety of other factors.
I know you're going to use my analogy. You're stealing it. You've got it. You're going to be using the value meal and the a la carte dollar menu. That's okay. You can use it, Brad.
I wrote it down. I've got it right here.
It's good stuff. If you're just joining us, Brad Breeding is our guest today, certified financial planner, president, and co-founder of My Life Site. The website, of course, that's what this is all about. And we're going to talk about the nuts and bolts and how the site works after the break. But mylifesite.net is the website, and the book, What's the Deal with Retirement Communities? We'll grab that break. We'll be right back with Brad. Stay there.
The Rice and Rose Law Firm is celebrating 30 years of service in Volusia and Flagler counties. I'm Paul Rice, and I'm board certified in divorce and family law. I specialize in representing divorcing spouses over the age of 50. Spouses getting divorced in their 50s, 60s, and 70s confront far different challenges than younger people. If you have questions about alimony, division of retirement or investment accounts, Social Security, health insurance, or anything else, you can contact me in our Daytona Beach office at 257-1222 or visit my website at ricerosedlaw.com.
Where can you find more spin than in politics? If you said financial services, you'd be correct. Just ask a stockbroker or insurance agent how you should invest your money, and what do you think they would say? Unfortunately, if an advisor is limited in what he can offer, that advisor is often understandably biased. You need to ask questions like, what products and services they can and cannot offer. Ask about their licensing and credentials. Remain skeptical. This PSA has been brought to you by Holland Financial, who wants to help you to plan stronger. For more information, call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com.
Welcome back. Brad Breeding on the line with us, certified financial planner, co-founder and president of My Life Site. And the website is mylifesite.net. What do you know? Mylifesite.net. And the book, What's the Deal with Retirement Communities? And, you know, Brad, I know this is a topic that for a lot of people, they're like, okay, I don't know what to talk about this. You know, it's ironic that families do sometimes wait to talk about subjects like this until sometimes people can't talk. And so that's, you know, that's that crisis mode you mentioned before the break. So let's talk about your website, because I think that it's fascinating to me that you have a site where you can go in and do what you can do. And I've already been to it, of course, and done a search in my local area. And so this pulled up a couple of local retirement communities that I could then compare, get more information on. What are some of the insights or the things that you feature with the website that makes it a tool that you know, people out there that are thinking about the need for this and evaluating the option of the retirement community? What are some of the things that they can do on the website to give them flavor for that?
Well, what we're trying to do with our website is give people a place where they can go to get some third-party objective information on various communities. And as I mentioned earlier, we focus on continuing care or life plan retirement communities. Usually they have an entry fee. They're thought of, in many cases, they're kind of thought of as that the higher end retirement community. But the trade-off, again, from that entry fee is that you have that lifetime priority access to housing and health care, no matter how much care you need. But along with that, there are, you know, it can be pretty complex in terms of the different types of contracts that are offered. There are various residency contract or pricing models available, and that can vary from one provider to another. And so when I was in the financial planning business, I would have people asking me, you know, how does this work, or how do I compare this one to this one, and, you know, those kind of things. And so that's really what we try to do is provide. We actually collect the contracts via government resources, and we go through those. We pour through the contracts and disclosure statements, and we essentially pull out some of the key information and put it in report format.
Nice.
And so we hope that by using our reports, people can certainly not make their final decision. They still need to visit the community and ask the right questions. But if we can give them a really good head start, and if nothing else, let them know what sort of things they need to ask more about, you know, then we feel like that can be very valuable. So that's really what we're trying to do on the website.
Excellent. Well, that's great, Brad, because your first thought in my mind was I'm not even sure what questions to start with. And you know, where to go and then how to compare. And I was thinking, as you described, that these different facilities or communities and the different levels of care and all of that, that there would be certainly some variation between the different options for you. And how do you compare? You know, we have an all-electric car, and then we have another one that's a hybrid or gas or diesel, and how do we compare those two vehicles and look at the long-term cost and what the features are and benefits and safety ratings? And I mean, you know, it's even though they're both vehicles and they both can get us from point A to point B, they're very different, and how do you make a cost comparison or a choice or purchase decision, which is what you're doing over here on these retirement communities?
That's right.
Yeah.
Another good analogy, too, by the way.
Write that one down, too, Brad. There's no charge for this, by the way. I'm available for consultation anytime. No, I have to always put things into terms I can remember and kind of relate it to something that I know, because if you think about the complexity involved with these contracts, I mean, you're going through these contracts, you know, God bless you, reading through all those things, and you're a certified financial planner. Think of the person out there who maybe they've not had much financial experience. Maybe they've hired somebody like you or me to manage their money for them, and they've never really dealt with money. They're a teacher, or they're a lawyer, or they're a doctor, or they're whatever. And for them to then approach and look at this stuff without that financial knowledge, I mean, it's very, very daunting.
Well, it is. That's, you know, I see that a lot, where you'll have somebody that clearly has been very successful in life, you know, very knowledgeable on a variety of things, but this is just something that they've never had to really dig into before. So it's just a foreign topic, and these types of retirement communities that work different than a typical business in the sense that, you know, you do have the entry fees. Sometimes the entry fees are refundable, and then you've got monthly fees, and then you've got health care, and what does that cost if you need those types of services? And so there's just a lot of moving parts, and it's a different kind of thing. So it's important that people understand that. And as I mentioned, it can be a great solution, but for many families. And so, you know, we hear wonderful stories from people where it's been such a lifesaver to live in such a great community. But at the same time, you need to understand how those contracts work, how the contracts work, and just to help avoid any surprises down the road.
Definitely. Well, let me go back, and I'm going to jump back to the kind of what we talked about before the first break here, is that, you know, somebody, when to make this decision. So if somebody's receiving home health care and they're getting care, and is that a time when, okay, look, you're getting care, it might be that you could stay where you are for another year or two or longer. Is that when they should start thinking about a retirement community and evaluating whether it's appropriate or not? Or is it even before they've needed home health care? I guess my thought is, when's a good time to think about and start researching and using your website to think about these options?
Well, that's a great question. And so that the example you used, once somebody's already receiving some care in their home, that could potentially narrow the options of what's available to them. Because as it relates to continuing care communities specifically, they typically are going to do a health evaluation on prospective residents, because these communities operate very similar to long-term care insurance in many ways, in that they really rely on having a lot of residents that are healthy to help offset the cost for the smaller proportion of residents that need care.
Okay.
And so they can't bring in new residents who need care from day one. So in other words, you have to be healthy to move in to most continuing care retirement communities. And so if somebody's already receiving care in their home, if it's very limited care, you know, just some housekeeping chores and things, then they may still be able to move to a continuing care retirement community. But if they've kind of gone past that and they actually need help with, you know, their day-to-day needs, and it's a little higher level of care, then they probably will not qualify in many cases for a continuing care community. And so then their choices become just an independent, you know, maybe a rental retirement community.
Right, right.
Where there's no health evaluation, it's month-to-month rent, they might provide a little bit of home care and that kind of thing, or, of course, an assisted living facility if their needs advanced enough.
Okay, so that really, that was excellent, Brad, because that actually draws a very clear distinction in my mind that the retirement community, these CCRCs, are an alternative, or it kind of a, you know, a fork in the road, that kind of like playing the game of life. Do you go ahead and go to work, or you go to college? You know, when you have to make that decision, the fork in the road of which way to go. So here's another part of life where you may say, okay, I'm healthy today, I can get long-term care insurance and consider, you know, home health care, assisted living, nursing home, kind of the a la carte side, or and pay for long-term care insurance, or I can go the route of the retirement community, the CCRC, and go into that and make a reservation or the entrance fee you talked about that basically puts it on reserve when I need it and I'm going to move in at a certain time, and that kind of will take care of that side of the equation. Is that a fair way of kind of breaking this out as an option, weighing one versus the other?
That is fair, because one of the things that I always try to emphasize when I'm speaking to groups and so forth is that there's two sides to think about. Number one is the cost of care.
Right.
And so you can have long-term care insurance or assets to self-insure, whatever the case may be, but that just addresses one side of it, which is access, or I'm sorry, cost of care.
Right.
The other side is access to care. Where is that care going to be received? Who's going to provide that care? And what are the complexities around that? And so when you are staying at home and if you take a reactive approach that I'll just stay in home as long as I can, and then maybe I'll move over here if I need a little bit of care, and then maybe have to move again if I need more care, that's a reactive approach, and that can be quite stressful on people and on families over time, because they're constantly having to figure out, where's access to that care going to be provided based on my needs?
Okay.
Whereas in contrast, the continuing care retirement community, they address that side of the coin as well, because you're already somewhere where you know that care will be received if and when you need it.
Okay.
Now, some people may say, well, there's a downside to that because you've kind of locked yourself into getting care in one spot. You know, so you're relying on that community for your mm-hmm. care, and that is true, and that's why you want to really
do your
due diligence on the quality of care that's provided in that community and so forth, and their track record.
Yeah.
But it really addresses that access to care. You know that you're going to be somewhere where that care will be available as you need it.
That's good. Very good. Brad Breeding, ladies and gentlemen, Brad Breeding, CFP, president, co-founder of My Life Site, MyLifeSite.net. What's the deal with retirement communities? That's the book. And well, now you're hearing what the deal is. So we're glad we have Brad to talk to us about it. Quick break. We'll come back and talk a little bit more about the timing and what you need to be thinking about with getting into or reserving your spot in a retirement community. Stay right there. We'll be right back after the break.
Having a place to go after school will make you a better student. Having an outlet to express yourself will make you a better artist. Having something to do together will make you a better family. At The Y, we're helping build better friends, listeners, writers, swimmers, scientists, and musicians, one chance at a time. Get the gift of opportunity. Support The Y.
For more information on what your Y does and how you can help, visit vfymca.org/give.
The Y, for a better us.
Hi, I'm Dr. Dan Drake. My staff and I have enjoyed delivering excellent, lasting dental care to countless patients for many years. We are a modern dental practice offering a full range of services, including cosmetic, implant, Invisalign, and general dentistry. Additionally, I am one of only a few dentists licensed to perform IV sedation, sleep dentistry to help those of you who are anxious. My belief and commitment is to deliver outstanding dental care and positive patient experiences. We look forward to serving you. If you have a dental question or concern, don't hesitate to call us at 386-673-1611 or visit AtlanticDentists.com.
Hi, this is David Holland. I've been going to Dr. Drake's office for over 20 years. I trust them, and you can too.
Hi, this is Mike Peerless, NMLS number 1073735, Reverse Mortgage Director for Holland Mortgage Services, a subsidiary of Holland Financial. It used to be that people considered a reverse mortgage as a loan of last resort. In fact, our company's founder and host of this program, David Holland, was a skeptic himself. However, after many client requests, David investigated this product thoroughly and decided that a reverse mortgage could fit into one's overall financial plan. Holland Mortgage Services is a licensed Florida broker, and we can help you refinance your existing mortgage and stop making ongoing monthly mortgage payments. However, you're still responsible for payment of property taxes, homeowners insurance, and HOA fees. You can also tap your home's equity to pay off credit cards or put cash in the bank. Call 386-671-7526 today for a free evaluation. Sometimes, to move forward, you need to go reverse. That number again is 386-671-7526. Holland Mortgage Services, NMLS number 1432962.
All right, we're back with Brad Breeding, CFP, Retirement Communities. What's the deal? That's the book, What's the Deal with Retirement Communities, and the website, MyLifeSite.net. Go in and learn a lot more about retirement communities and make comparisons and take advantage of all the work that Brad and his team has done to research and read all the fine print or dig into some of the, especially some of the key stuff that you need to know about these when you're making comparisons. And I want to come back to the point. I know I've been kind of digging into this, Brad, and I want to get to the point where somebody says, okay, look, I've read, I've researched, I'm thinking this is the route that I want to look at, peace of mind. I don't want to have to worry about where I'm going to get my care. I don't want to have to buy long-term care insurance. I don't want to have to be bounced around, and I just want to know that I've got this taken care of. Do they, in your experience, commonly what we see, do they then pay a fee? Do they sell their house and move in now? Give me some of the practicalities.
Well, the first step somebody would normally take is to get on the, they can put down a deposit, which, you know, if there's, let's say that the residents or the particular unit or size of unit they're interested in, maybe it's not, maybe there aren't any available, you know, or maybe they want to sell their house first before they move in, whatever the case may be, they'll often start with a deposit. Sometimes it's refundable, sometimes partially refundable, but we're talking a, you know, just a couple thousand dollars or so in many cases just to get on that okay. on that list.
Okay.
Once they are ready to actually make the move, then they will pay the full entry fee. So continuing care communities, they can have entry fees that range anywhere from, you know, $50,000, $75,000 all the way up to several hundred thousand or more.
Mm.
So, you know, they can be pretty substantial in many cases. But once they make that payment, then obviously that it's at that point that they would take occupancy in the community.
Okay. And is that is that the main fee? And then in addition to that, they have some monthly fees, or how is it? Give me the broad brushstroke of where the fees are.
Yes. So then they'll have monthly fees as well on top of the, so not unlike any retirement community, you'll have
your
monthly rent.
Sure.
You know, and that's going to range, again, could range very broadly depending on the region
right,
and the
right.
type of contract and
sure.
so forth. But, you know, $2,000 or so, $3,000 is not uncommon per month. And
okay.
that can be an all-inclusive monthly fee, or it can be more of an a la carte fee.
Okay.
So you want to know exactly what's included in that monthly fee. And so as they go along, one of the things, and this is where the different pricing models, the different contract types come into play, is that in some communities you'll pay the same rate for life, no matter whether you need health care services or not.
Okay.
It's kind of a lifetime predictable, it's called life care.
Okay.
And so you have, you know, lifetime expenses remain relatively level. Others you'll pay a little bit lower fee, but if you need care, when you need care, you'll pay a higher amount.
Okay.
And so there's kind of a trade-off between pay now and pay later.
Right. Okay. Well, that makes sense. So, again, this is why you're doing what you're doing, Brad, with the website, mylifesite.net, is that you are creating a way for people to see this. Visibility, right? To be able to pull these things up and evaluate them. And there is, it's not just saying, hey, let me pick the best one or which one got the best reviews. This is also about considering and tailoring them or tailoring the choices to the person's situation. If you've got somebody with a history of longevity where, you know, all the aunts and uncles and grandmothers and everybody else lived to 105, you know, just as an example, that may have a lot to do with the particular choice somebody makes versus another person who everybody's passed by 75. I mean, it may make a difference in your choices.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that's what we try to do in our report, to go in and say exactly what, you know, here's how this contract works and this is how this one works. So that if you're comparing, you can, based on whether you have long-term care insurance or not,
right.
or, you know, whatever your financial situation is, so that you can at least understand, okay, here's how this works,
right.
and let me decide which one's best for me.
That's great, Brad. Well, Brad, we've run out of time, but we're glad you're with us. Brad Breeding is our guest today, president and co-founder of My Life Site. MyLifeSite.net, What's the Deal with Retirement Communities? That's the book. Brad, loved having you on. We'll do this again and get an update from you and have you back. Thanks for being with us.
Well, it was my pleasure. Thank you.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.